Here's a flip side. Yesterday, before our outreach, we were having some Bible study time, and we were talking about basically abiding in Christ, that all that we do needs to come out of overflow from our walk with Jesus. And Miss Teresa, y'all can pray, she's actually traveling today to be with her grandchildren in Montana, but Miss Teresa was talking about how music, worship music, helps her to keep her focus on Jesus, and how she'll just sometimes be driving down the road and just weeping as she hears these songs about her Savior. And sometimes she'll be so focused on the songs that she misses her turn. See, that's distracted in a good way, right? It goes both ways. We can be so distracted by God, if you will, that we don't get caught up in the everyday things of life that can distract us from Him. We are distracted toward Him, towards His kingdom. That's the goal, right? That's living the gospel life. But there's a threat, and I want to show it to you today. We're in Luke chapter 10. You got Mary and Martha. We're finishing up Luke 10 today with a story about sisters. While I read, try to figure out who you think the older sister is. The older sibling. The type A. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." And Father, now we bow before you, Lord, confessing our utter dependence on you. Lord, we want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. God, we need you in our lives. God, we need you more than we even know it. But God, we confess our dependency on you right now in this moment. We pray for your guidance. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would illuminate your word. God, that you would apply it to every single heart in this room, specifically how we need you. God, help us to love you, to trust you, to live for you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, fun story, right? Now, we know from other parts of Scripture, Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. Y'all remember Lazarus, right? Who was risen from the dead. We know that they lived in a place called Bethany. It's not mentioned here, but that's some context for you. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to try to tie this together. Think about the first part of Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses like 1 through 10, maybe 12. When Jesus sends the 72 out, he tells them to go into all these places two by two, preaching the kingdom of God, basically looking for houses of peace. I wish that I had more accuracy on exactly when in the life of Jesus this specific story happened. I don't know exactly when. I don't know if this was the first time they met. I'm not sure. Here's what I know. There was a time that they met, right? We know that much. This could have been the first time, maybe not. But when I read it, I thought, hey, as they went on their way, that's what Jesus tells us to do. On your way, where you go, make disciples. Oh, as you're going, make disciples. And so as they're going on their way, Jesus enters into a village. This is part of the core missionary task. Entry, evangelism, discipleship, church formation, leadership development. You remember when my buddy Jimmy came and preached to us through the book of Acts? You see this as part of Paul's strategy. All through the book of Acts, we see it as Jesus' strategy. Entering into places that don't have the gospel. When you get there, preaching the gospel. And when you preach the gospel, making disciples and helping them grow, grouping them together into churches and developing leaders before you move on. That's the core missionary task. Lord willing, we're going to be planting new churches. Right? We're a church plant with the goal to plant more churches, to reach folks who are far from God. So we see entry right here. Jesus enters into a village. And then we see a house of peace. There's a woman there named Martha, and she welcomes Jesus into her home. Now, I don't know if this was her first encounter, but at one time or another, she was definitely a house of peace. They had relationships. She welcomed the gospel into her home. Now, one of my goals today is not just to preach at you. One of my goals today is for us to study this together so that you are better equipped to daily meet with God yourself, okay? We use in our small groups these tools called the sword method, right? Where we get together and we read the passage and then we ask one another, what do I learn about God? What do I learn about man? What does this passage teach us about sin? Sin to avoid. Is there any examples or commands to follow? You've heard me preach before telling you about how I study for my own personal quiet time. I use the SOAP method. I'll talk about that more in a minute. But there's great questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Think about those questions as we break this down. Where did he go? Well, he entered a village. There's entry. Who welcomed him? Martha welcomed Jesus. She's a house of peace. We learn Martha and Mary are what? Sisters. Who do you think's the big sister? I kind of think so too. Who knows? I do know little sisters that are bossy. Martha and Mary. What was Mary doing? Sitting at Jesus' feet. What does that mean in Scripture? What was she doing while she was sitting at his feet? What was she doing? Later she does in another story. She does. That's the same Mary. Good job. But in this passage, she's what? Listening to what? Jesus' teaching. Can you imagine? I don't know what the house looked like. Don't know what the floor looked like. I don't know how big the room was. I know Jesus traveled with at least 12. He's sitting there teaching, and she's just at his feet, as close as she can be, just drinking it in, lapping it up. This is God the Son in my home, and I am just amazed at what is coming out of his mouth. I just want to just soak it in. Can you imagine what all he might have been talking about? The intimacy there in her own home, meeting with Jesus, just sitting at his feet. How thrilling. Jesus in their home, visiting with them, teaching them, not there to be served, but there to serve. By the way, y'all, you know, by faith, we can do this too. She got to do it by sight, but she had to have faith too. And one day, we're going to get to do it by sight. But today, in your own home, you can sit at his feet. You can listen to his teaching. You can fellowship with God the Son, the Savior of the world, in your own home. Today by faith. The word teaching is logos. It can mean a word or speech. The NIV and the CSB says that she was listening to what he said. Well, how do we hear what Jesus says today? What's the primary way? Praying is how we talk to Him, but how do we hear from Him? We read His Word, right? Where's His Word at now? It's written down in the Bible. It's been preserved for us to read. 2,000 years later, we can sit at His feet and we can listen to His Word. Matter of fact, read it out loud and you definitely hear His Word. Come on. So, what does it look like today? What does it look like today? Let's put some handles on it. How do we sit at His feet and receive His Word? How do we receive His teaching today? Y'all, God, don't miss this. Please don't miss it. This is where the gospel life is empowered. So let me ask you, how do you spend time with Jesus? It can't be just a 10-minute quiet time in the morning. It can't just be 10 minutes a day. It's a great place to start if you're not doing it at all. But we need Jesus all day long, right? Good news, wherever you're at, He's with you. We can spend time with Him all day long. I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about construction work. And I was telling him about, it seems like two lifetimes ago, I used to be a maintenance man, worked for DeSoto County, and I was on the roof at the jail trying to fix an air conditioner. And I tried everything I could think of. And there was a day that I'd have got mad. I might have even thrown a tool. Definitely would have cussed. But on that day, I decided to pray. I said, God, I can't figure it out. Would you please help me? And almost instantly, an idea popped in my head that worked. Now, some people could explain that away. I call that practicing the presence of Jesus. He's right there with you, wherever you are. And you've got His Word. You got it in your Bible in written form. You've got it on your phones. You can even listen to it while you're driving. You've got His Word with you all day long. Sitting at His feet empowers our serving, and it keeps us from being distracted or to be burnt out. So if you don't have a plan, it's to start today. Don't even wait until tomorrow. Y'all have heard me talk about SOAP, S-O-A-P. S is for Scripture, O is for Observation, A is for Application, and P is for Prayer. So this is what it looks like. 5:30, my alarm goes off. On a good day, I get up. On a bad day, I hit snooze. 9 minutes later, it goes off again. I jump on up. I get the coffee going. I sit down in my chair. I get my Bible and my journal. And whatever passage I'm in Galatians right now. It might be three verses. It might be a whole chapter. I just start writing it. I write the passage. I write the up top. I write S for Scripture. And I just write it out. I write the Bible out. I can't tell you how much it helps me to actually write the Scripture out. I write it out every day. I write it out, and then after I finish writing out the Scripture, then I do observation. And I just start writing observations. Stuff as simple as Jesus went to the village, and he met a lady named Martha, and Martha had a sister named Mary, and I'm just writing out my observations. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, wait, entry. There's entry there. Oh, wait, was she a house of peace? And as you write it out, these observations, things start coming to your mind. I write out all my observations. And then I write out applications. A is for application. How does this apply to my life today and this week, and how am I going to live it out? How am I not just going to be a hearer, but a doer of God's Word? And then after I write out Scripture, I write out observations, I write out applications, and then I write a prayer. I don't know why, but I always write the S, the O, the A. I write all that in regular writing. My prayers, I always write in cursive. I don't know why. I just write them out in cursive. And I'm praying back to God what He has said to me in His Word. Simple. That's so simple. I do tell you this. I'll go back 2 or 3 years later sometimes and look at stuff that I wrote out, and I'm like, did that really come out of me? It's the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you. You can sit down in the morning at the feet of Jesus, and you can read His Word, and you can interact with His Word, and in such a way that it's relationship, it's not religion. And it goes with you throughout the day. When you actually process it and think about it, it's not just in one ear and out the other. For the rest of the day, you got some morsels to chew on. Some meditation to be thinking over while you're driving, while you're shopping. All day long, you have the opportunity to meet with Him from that morning's time. There's an app that I love. It's called Streetlights, where they have some music playing in the background, and there's brothers reading the Word of God, and it's a little bit of rhythm to it, and it's enough for me where my mind doesn't wander. Get the Streetlights app, and just while you're jogging, while you're exercising, while you are laying at bed at night falling asleep, when you're driving, listen to God's Word. Memorize it, y'all. It takes effort, right? I mean, for some of us, it takes a lot more effort than others, but it's worth it. You know why? Because when you had it in your heart, it's there. You know, there are places in this world that it's illegal to have a written copy of God's Word. And people memorize not just verses, not just chapters. They memorize books of the Bible so they can have God's Word in their heart. All the time, you can't take that away. Memorize it. And when you memorize it, it's there when you need it. God's Word, His Spirit brings it to you. It comes to your rescue all the time. When temptation creeps in, God's Word's there to do battle. When you need something positive to chew on so that you're not thinking about something you don't want to think about, God's Word is there to marinate on and to meditate on and to think over, to mull over. Memorize it. Meditate it. Listen to it preached. Listen to sermons. Good sermons, good preachers that preach the Bible. Listen to podcasts that point you to His throne. Listen to worship music all day long. Guys, we need distraction from this world. We need distraction from our flesh. God's Word is your answer. Be distracted with Jesus all day long. Y'all, it's not religion, but it does take intentionality. You got to be intentional. It doesn't just happen by accident. And it's got to be by faith. It's not us doing better. It's us desperate for Him. Pray. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean to walk around with your eyes closed and trying to figure out where you're going. Definitely if you're praying when you're driving, don't close your eyes, right? But it says pray without ceasing. That means all day long you are in this attitude of prayer. This ongoing conversation with God is practicing His presence in real time. And when you see a beautiful sunset, it reminds you to praise Him. When you see a wreck on the side of the road, you pray for those people that are involved in that accident. When you feel a temptation coming, you run to Him in prayer. When you have victory, you praise Him for that. It's an all-day-long relationship sitting at His feet. This kind of abiding with Christ overflows into living the gospel life. This is joyful, Spirit-empowered walking with God. And it produces joyful, Spirit-empowered service. Verse 40 says, but Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to His teacher, or her Jesus' teaching, but, see the contrast there? But is a conjunction that brings contrast. Mary's doing this, but what's Martha doing? Martha was what? Distracted. Martha was distracted. From who? Who was she distracted from? From Jesus. By what? By a lot of service. Whoa, wait a minute. The Bible about to meddle just a little bit. I get distracted all the time from Jesus by serving. It don't make any sense to me. It doesn't make sense how a preacher, a pastor, can be distracted from God by serving God. That don't make sense, does it? But it happens. If we get it out of order, it'll happen in a heartbeat. We get distracted by many things. She was distracted by serving. It says, with much serving. Now look, that word distractive is in the passive voice in the original language. She wasn't intentionally being distracted. It was just happening. It wasn't active. It was passive. She was doing for Jesus and her guest. And what she was doing was distracting her from what was most important, which is Jesus. It was unintentional. Our busyness, even good stuff, can distract us unintentionally from the best. Happens all the time. We get distracted enough by bad stuff. Man, let's not be distracted by good stuff and miss the best. Much serving. She's distracted by much serving. The word much is an intensifier. It intensifies her serving. It was with a lot of serving, over the top serving. She's serving. It's the word that we get deacon from in the Bible. It means ministry. It means service. We can be distracted by ministry from Jesus. Ain't that crazy? There's some signs. There's some signs of when that happens. Now look, I don't want to take away from Martha. I don't want to take away from her serving. I don't want to take away from her motives. There was a lot to do to serve guests. There was a lot of preparing. Don't forget, she didn't have Sam's down the road, Walmart. She didn't have a freezer where she could keep extra stuff to pop in the microwave when your guest came in unannounced. Everything she made was from scratch. She didn't have a fridge with leftovers in it. Everything that they had to make took a lot of effort and a lot of extra time. I'm not taking away from the fact that she had to serve them in real time. To welcome them into her home would mean to serve them. It would mean to feed them. It would mean to provide for them. Jesus told his disciples when they sent them out two by two, when you enter into home, stay there and eat what they set before you. It would have been expected in that culture for Martha and for Mary to help. It would have been expected enough in that culture that Mary should have been helping. Think about it. It was that expected that Martha was frustrated that she wasn't helping. It bothered Martha that Mary wasn't helping. It actually bothered Martha so much that she approached Jesus about it. Ponder that for a minute. Think about that. Listen, she not only had the audacity to complain to him, she felt as though she could. Now, before we get too hard on Martha, I want you to think about this. She actually did the right thing by going to Jesus with her frustrations. Don't miss the relational here. Mary is at the feet of Jesus. Martha is serving. And Martha's frustrated, yes, but she also feels the freedom to come to Jesus with her frustration. I sense relationship here. I sense tenderness here. So she went up to him and she said, "Lord, do you not care?" Whew. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one, but sometimes we feel that way, right? God, are you not aware of my circumstances? I mean, maybe you don't care. I mean, you're really going to let me sit through this, go through that? I think a lot of her frustration was due to miscommunication, right? Now, this will help you with your interpersonal relationships. This will help you with your neighbor. This will help you with those that you work with. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you with your parenting. There was some miscommunication happening. Do you not care? See, she's going by how she feels. Right? I'm over here working my fingers to the bone. Mary done left me to do all the work by myself. It's going to take twice as long. And here I am missing out Surely Jesus doesn't care. Do you not care? It's hurtful, right, for others not to care. It's hurtful when we don't feel like people are concerned for us or our situation. Now, don't miss this, of course. She was assuming, right? She's assuming that he didn't care. She's going by how she feels. Y'all think Jesus cares? I think he cares. We know a lot more of the big picture than she had the privilege to know. She was in process. She was learning about his character. Guys, our feelings will lead us astray all the time. How we feel may not be right. By the way, we got an enemy that hates us that loves to whisper those types of lies. Nobody cares. If they cared, they wouldn't sit there while you did that. God doesn't care. We got an enemy that throws those fiery darts at us all day long. We got a flesh that is at war against God's Spirit. Our flesh wants to be served, not to serve. Our flesh doesn't want to be taken advantage of. Our flesh is at war against the things of God in our life. We got to be careful not to go by feelings. Of course he loves us, and of course he loves her. Matter of fact, verse 42 says he wants what's best for us. Think about it. He wants what was best for Mary, and he said, I'm not going to take that away from her. Jesus wants what's best for us. How do we know he loves us? How do you know Jesus loves you? It's not always about our feelings, right? But by faith, we believe that Jesus died in our place to take away our sin. Jesus said it like this, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Think about that. He loves her. He cares for her. He wants best for her. She was still learning about his character. And guys, we are too, right? We're learning about his character. What's the best way to do it? Well, seek to know him according to his divine revelation, right? There are so many myths. Oh, I was going to say miscommunications, but there's so many like misunderstandings about who God is, right? When he gave us his divine authoritative revelation, right here, you can learn his character. And you can learn to trust his character no matter what you're feeling. She told Jesus, verse 40, tell her then to help me. Y'all, she got some. Think about this. Do you not care? Well, if you care, then tell her to help me. She's a bossy little thing, ain't she? She went to Jesus boldly, y'all. And I actually appreciate that about her. We can go to him boldly like that. Now the answer, Jesus watches, there's verse 41, there's another but. There's more contrast. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, but Martha is distracted by serving. So she goes to Jesus. Do you not care? Then tell her to help me. But, contrast. The Lord answered her. Now, I think that this is gracious grace. I think that his answer is, listen, see if you can see it. It's graciously, it's gently, it's discreet, it's direct. He's direct, not discreet, direct. Honest and loving. Martha, Martha. It's personal. It's calming. You see his patient answer, Martha. Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I see this as gentle correction. By the way, this is when most of us would have got defensive, right? What do you mean I don't care? Of course I care. We get defensive. When this is called the crazy cycle in marriage, right? God, the way God created us. You look at Ephesians, the instructions for men to love their wives as Christ loves the church, and for women to submit to their husbands and show them respect as unto the Lord. Men need respect, and women need love. Now, I'm not saying that women don't want to be respected, and I'm not saying that men don't want to be loved, but generally, if I feel disrespected, then if I'm going by my feelings, my response is going to be to respond to Megan without love. If Megan feels unloved, then her natural knee-jerk response is to respond without respect. And you get into this crazy cycle where you're responding out of how you feel versus what's even actually going on. How many times have you been in a fight when you don't even remember what you're fighting about? You're just in that crazy cycle for days. Jesus didn't get sucked into the crazy cycle. Hey, I got stuck in the crazy cycle with Elizabeth when she was like 2 years old. It happens with daughters too. The crazy cycle is real. Jesus did not react to her accusation. He responded. He responded gently. You're anxious. He had awareness of how she felt, and he responded to what she needed. Martha, you're anxious, you're worried, you have anxiety, you're concerned, you're troubled. To be troubled is to be upset or distracted or disturbed. This is the CSB and the NIV say you're worried and you're upset about many things. The NLT says you're worried and upset over all these details, but there's another contrast. But one thing. One. Only one thing. Only one thing is necessary. It was sitting at Jesus' feet. Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen the right thing. She's chosen what is best. And he said, it will not be taken away from her. You know what he's telling her? Very gently, he's saying no. He's saying no. You don't care? Then tell her to help me. Jesus said, I'm not going to do that. She has chosen what is best. I'm not going to take that away from her. Jesus wasn't going to tell Mary to help because Mary was where she needed to be, sitting at his feet. Now, let's think about this, okay? There's different perspectives in this story. Martha's perspective. She welcomed Jesus into her house. There was much to do to host. She was doing all the work while Mary got to just sit and listen to Jesus. Y'all ever heard of FOMO? She had FOMO, didn't she? Fear of missing out. This is Martha's perspective, I think. Did she see Jesus as a distraction from what needed to be done? Think about that. Mary's over here getting distracted by Jesus while I'm doing all the work. Jesus must not care that I'm doing all the work alone, or he wouldn't allow Mary to just sit there. You ever been there? You ever been there? Why I got to be the one to do this or to do that? Why is everybody else just sitting around having a good time? She's probably thinking it's taking twice as long. And I don't get to just sit around. I'll tell the Lord to get her to help me. That's her perspective, right? Mary's perspective. Jesus is in our home teaching. What? I'm going to sit at his feet and I'm going to soak this up as long as I can. This is awesome. I hate that Martha's missing it. You think maybe she thought that? Martha's so distracted with all this stuff that doesn't even matter. I wish she was sitting here and just listening to Jesus teach. We've provided enough hospitality. Let's enjoy time with Jesus. Y'all, we need Jesus to help us shape our perspectives. Y'all believe that? We need his help. So don't hear me wrong, okay? I'm not saying serving is bad. Right? we're called by the Bible to serve. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, service is inspired by God's mercy. And we've all been gifted in different ways to make the body work. We need every one of you serving how God has gifted you to serve. But it's got to be out of overflow. It's got to be in view of His mercy. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11 says that we need to serve one another with the various gifts that we've been given. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, we need to serve like Jesus. He said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve. Matthew 4, verse 4, man cannot live by bread alone. We need Jesus, y'all. We need Him to help us shape our worldview, shape our perspective. In John 15, 5, Jesus said, I am the true vine and you're the branches. You abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Makes you wonder how much nothing we do. Right? Luke 10, 42. Mary chose what is best. Luke 10, 41. Martha was troubled and anxious. She was distracted by much serving. Luke 10, 42. It is necessary to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to Him. See, that's a perspective shaped by Jesus. Yes, serve, but you do it out of an overflow and you don't overwork. There's a difference. That's what we mean by living the gospel life. So, let's apply this today. Beware of distractions from time with Jesus. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying, don't be going and telling my mama, Trey said I don't need to serve anymore in the nursery. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying make sure you're overflowing first. Spend time alone with Jesus every day. Don't overwork, overflow. Spend unhurried time with Jesus, His Word, daily. Recognize it when you're serving without joy. Y'all, that's a great indicator that my heart is not where it needs to be when you're over here pushing a dust mop, murmuring to yourself. They're over there hanging out around the coffee pot. Here I am, dust mopping by myself. That's y'all, I'm not saying quit dust mopping. I'm just saying refocus on Jesus. You know, one of my favorite times on Sunday morning is dust mopping this cafeteria while the worship team warms up and sings praise to Jesus. If you find your heart frustrated in your serving, lead your heart back to the feet of Jesus. Don't stop serving, but seek Jesus. Keep serving in the power of the gospel, in the proper perspective. Y'all, beware of FOMO and comparing ourselves. We all have different roles and responsibilities in the family of God, right? Some of us have to host. There's a difference, by the way, between hosting and hospitality. We have host homes. Maybe we should call them hospitality homes. Hosting is like, I got to make everything perfect so that everybody that comes over is thinks good about me. Hospitality is welcome to my home, fold in with my family. Might be a little messy, might be a little crazy, but we're all going to seek Jesus together. This is about relationship. This is, I'm going to provide a place in my house that people can gather and talk about God. It really don't matter what they think about me. Now, I'm not saying, I'm just not going to go there. Beware of FOMO. Don't neglect what is necessary. Go to Jesus with your frustrations and let Him help you sort it out. You know, Martha had a good lesson in this, and because of her, we get a good lesson, right? You might be pushing that dust mop, murmuring under your breath. Talk to Jesus about it. Y'all, I can't tell you how many times I've been alone with God, complaining to Him about other people, And he listens. He's gracious. By the time I'm done, usually he's showing me what's wrong in my heart. It's for my good. Let him help you shape the proper perspective. Recognize the difference, though, I mentioned a minute ago, between hosting, that's Martha, and hospitality, that's Mary. Make a plan. Pray for help. Ask for accountability. And spend time with Jesus every day. I know this sounds rigid, and I don't mean it to be religion. I really want you to enjoy Jesus every day, all day long. Small groups help. We got small groups that meet on Sundays in the evening, on Tuesday evening for the youth, for Thursday nights. And small groups help because we get to model it, we get to practice it, we get to have fellowship and encouragement, and we get to have accountability. We need it. We need each other. Y'all, basically what I'm trying to encourage you to do is just taste and see. It's not that it doesn't take effort, but it's worth it. Go to bed early if you got to. Set your Bible out so you don't forget. Put sticky notes or set reminders on your phone. Do what it takes to have time with Jesus every day. Living the gospel life isn't do more, read more, work harder. It is sit down at the feet of Jesus. Seek him and find him. Enjoy Jesus. Listen to him. Learn from him. Be transformed by him. It's not religion. It's relationship.